From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. The FCC fined stations when Bono used the F word in an award show. The FCC did not fine stations for broadcasting expletives in the film Saving Private Ryan. Does that mean that Ken Burns' forthcoming TV documentary on World War II can include expletives too? That's unclear. Many broadcasters are confused about what the FCC now considers indecent, and they say they're forced to self-censor to avoid a recent tenfold increase in fines. On today's Fresh Air, we'll hear from an FCC commissioner, a lawyer who advises broadcasters, the president-elect of the Parents Television Council, which has filed many indecency complaints with the FCC, and the executive editor of the PBS series Frontline. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Lately at Fresh Air, we've been making a lot of calls to our lawyer, seeking guidance over whether film clips, lyrics, and things our guests have said might be considered indecent by the FCC. The agency has of late been more aggressive in investigating allegations of indecency and profanity and has raised its fines tenfold to $325,000 per utterance. Last March, the FCC leveled fines against stations for broadcasting 9 programs, including CBS's Without a Trace, ABC's NYPD Blue, and a PBS documentary about the blues. Many broadcasters are confused about what the FCC now considers indecent and say the fines are having a chilling effect. We'll be talking to 4 people today, including an FCC commissioner. Let's start with Lewis Wiley, executive editor of the PBS documentary series Frontline. He'll explain how his show has been affected by recent FCC decisions. Lewis Wiley, welcome to Fresh Air. What are the recent FCC precedents that are affecting you in your work?
Well, the clearest one, of course, was the Bono decision. Back in the winter of 2005, we were preparing a company of soldiers, and in one scene there was an explosion, and the soldiers used the F word numerous times. In that scene, I think there were 6 uses. Well, the commission had just decided that the F word was presumably indecent, and we faced the problem that under the rules at the time, the use of that word could have resulted in $32,500 each time the word was used as the maximum fine. And if you teased it out, it would have come to $195,000 per station times the number of stations for a grand total of $35.1 million. Now, nobody at Frontline thought that there would even be complaints about the use of the F word in a battle situation in Iraq. But the lawyers and the executives who run the station have to be very concerned because they expose themselves to some liability.
Now, were you confident that if there was a complaint that the FCC would rule against you and fine you for that scene?
We weren't absolutely sure. They had not yet ruled on the case of Saving Private Ryan, which was a movie in which these words were used. They later ruled that Saving Private Ryan could be broadcast with the words included. So we then took it that if it was good enough for a movie, that we were probably protected in a documentary about the real thing. So the next line of questioning would be, well, could a soldier recalling a battle later using the F word, would that be permitted? And our colleagues at American Experience in 2 days in October decided to take that risk in which a soldier recalls a situation in Vietnam. But it's not clear if there should be a complaint, how the commission would rule in that case. And I think we're going to face this as a system when Ken Burns does his work this fall on World War II. And the question will be, if he includes soldiers recalling their experience, what are the parameters of language that would be permitted?
You've said that recent FCC decisions on indecency are leading to self-censorship, but that self-censorship has become an indirect form of government censorship. What do you mean?
Well, the government cannot come into our editing rooms and say, you know, what exactly we can use or what must be cut out. That would be direct censorship. That the First Amendment would certainly not permit that. But I believe that this is, in fact, a form of indirect government censorship because they're getting us to do their work. They're using the tool of the fear of these draconian fines to get us to step back from material that might be very valuable to a story. So I am concerned about what I would call maybe censorship by indirection, which is what is happening in my view.
Are there times when you have to make a decision about language or content on Frontline and you're just not sure, and your lawyers are unsure either, whether the FCC would think that this was indecent?
Well, I think there's a problem even prior to the FCC concerns that bothers me. I think producers are going to get the message very quickly that This is a problem area. They usually shoot 10 to 1 ratio. There's lots of material. And I am afraid the instinct is going to be to leave the problems on the cutting room floor. I don't think, I may not even know about it. Certainly the viewers may not know about it, how much a film might have been affected by the early cut that filmmakers make, the rough cut. There could be very powerful material that will never make it because in their mind, the atmosphere is one of self-censorship. So I think there's real danger here that a lot of our powerful drama, history, and public affairs documentaries will be dimmed. They certainly won't be destroyed, but they will be dimmed. And that's why I'm concerned about the application to the work we do.
I want to ask you to describe a difficult decision you had to make about the use of a word that starts with the letter P, and this is a word that could be used to describe a cat, it could be used to as a slang word to describe a woman's genitals, and it could also be used as a slang word for somebody who's just a wimp. So tell us what the situation was and how you made your decision about whether to keep in this P word or not.
There are an endless list of words that can cause you to think hard about what might happen if you use them. In the week after the program about the company of soldiers in Iraq, we broadcast a program called The Soldier's Heart. And The Soldier's Heart was about the number of soldiers in Iraq who've had to seek medical counseling for psychological problems. And one veteran was talking to us about how it's very difficult for them to come forward. And he said the reason it's very difficult, and he gave a very clear case, he said, the reason is very difficult because in this particular case, a soldier wanted to seek help, and his commanding officer called him a particular name. And then he said he called him the F word with ING on it, and then the P word that you just mentioned. And we decided to bleep the F word because we had just put Company of Soldiers on and we didn't want to ask the stations to stand up again. But as you will readily understand, the P word was all about the definition of weakness, of being a coward, and that was the context it was used in. It was very powerful. If we had bleeped that word, you would have no idea of the power of the word's use. And so we left it in. But I can tell you now, and this is the one that I'm sure will come before the commission before long, there has been a complaint about it. There has been a complaint about it, despite its very clear context as a coward or unmanliness. So these are the difficulties we face, you know, and sometimes it can be hilarious. We broadcast a program called Country Boys. That ran from 9 to 11 over 3 nights. 6 hours of programming. Because 9 to 10 is outside of safe harbor, these young teenagers who use cuss words, I mean, this is part of being a teenager. We didn't let them use them between 9 and 10, but then between 10 and 11, it was okay. But trying to figure out just where we're going to come down in each of these particular cases can sometimes create bizarre results.
Right, and 9 and 10... The difference between 9 and 10 and 10 and 11 is that the FCC considers any time after 10 to be more of a, quote, safe harbor because children theoretically are in bed after 10 o'clock.
Yep.
So you're in the position of sometimes having to make decisions that seem ridiculous to you?
Well, not only me, but our colleagues. I mean, take, for example, in Masterpiece Theater in Prime Suspect, Helen Mirren, in one episode, she's furious. She comes out of a scene inside, and she gets into her car. She slams the door, and she's very angry, and she says the F word 6 times. Now, you see her lips moving, but you don't hear it. So is that a violation? Can you leave that in? It's a word that is very integral to the scene. She's angry. So we decided to broadcast that. That was broadcast, and there were no complaints. But you don't know what would happen in a different situation or the next time. Antiques Roadshow had a a nude photograph of Marilyn Monroe, a very rare photograph, an early one. This was a picture that was valued at $20,000. It was certainly an appropriate editorial choice for that series. But I can tell you there was a lot of thinking about how much of it we could show and whether we should show it at all. So eventually we did show it. And so far there have been no complaints, but that program is repeated a lot of times by stations around the country. And I wouldn't be surprised if it generated a complaint at some future point in time. So it isn't just Frontline. It's our drama series. It's our cultural programs. It's the history series. We're all under the same gun.
Well, Lewis Wiley, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Lewis Wiley is the executive editor of the PBS documentary series Frontline. Coming up, we talk with FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about the impact of the FCC's increasingly strict enforcement of its indecency standards. Many broadcasters say the FCC's rulings have been unclear and inconsistent and are leading to self-censorship. My next guest is Jonathan Adelstein, who has been an FCC commissioner since December 2002. He was previously a senior legislative aide to Democratic Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle. Commissioner Adelstein, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks for having me, Terry.
A lot of broadcasters I know are unclear about what the FCC considers acceptable and what they risk getting fined for. So let me just ask you how the recent FCC decisions have changed the standards of indecency and profanity.
Well, it's understandable that there is a lot of confusion about what the rules say. It really depends on the context, and we don't give advance notice about what is or isn't appropriate because the law actually prohibits us from engaging in censorship, and prior restraint like that would be tantamount to censorship. And so people have to kind of guess. And because we've strengthened our enforcement in recent years, I think there's been a lot of resulting confusion.
Yeah, now the F word decision was one of the best known of the recent FCC decisions, and this was pertaining to Bono at the Golden Globe Award ceremony. And he had said that something was effing brilliant. And originally, the FCC staff said that effing in that context was okay because it was an adjective that meant in that context incredibly, like that was incredibly brilliant or very brilliant. But then the FCC commissioners overruled the staff and said, no, that word is what, inherently indecent?
It's not inherently indecent. There actually is a contextual analysis that we do. I think that there's a lot of questions about that because it was a departure from some previous policy that broadcasters perceived. Particularly in a case of a fleeting incident like that, we've always held that fleeting examples of things like that should be looked at differently than something that was intentional or could have been more easily prevented. And the result, of course, of that is that people are using technology to try to block various words in advance. One of the other things that we used that was new was profanity analysis. Never before had the FCC held anything to be profane, but there was a new type of analysis done saying certain words are profane, and that is something that is subject to some confusion as well as to what the words are, because there's variances on these various words that people don't know when and where they can't or can't say it. So I thought that given all of the vast outcry about our decision in that case, there was a lot of requests for us to reconsider the decision, and that wasn't done before we moved on and found all kinds of other words to be inherently indecent or profane. As a matter of fact, one of the problems with it is that we find these words to be inherently sexual or excretory, which is kind of strange in some cases because the clear intent of the speaker isn't that. I mean, and I don't like to get into all these words on the air, but some of these words, for example, that might represent the excrement of a bull aren't necessarily excretory when they're said. They're meant to intend to be somebody who's dissembling as opposed to something that would be inherently excretory. So these, we get ourselves into a bit of a cul-de-sac when we get into that kind of an analysis. And right now we're deep in one, and there's all kinds of confusion resulting in litigation, people not knowing what they can and can't say on the air. And we have to date not been willing to reconsider that. The chairman hasn't brought that to a vote before the commission, so we're still kind of leaving it out there.
Now, the FCC recently said that Saving Private Ryan could be played on broadcast TV uncut because removing the expletives would have diminished the realism of the story. So can we assume that those expletives in Steven Spielberg's war movie are also okay in documentaries about war?
It's a great question. There seems to be a lot of confusion about that because we held in a documentary about the Blues that it wasn't okay to use certain words. And yet in Saving Private Ryan, which is a dramatic rendition of a war, we said it was okay. Now we're getting questions about a World War II documentary by Ken Burns, which uses, of course, original footage that contains expletives that you might expect to hear from soldiers in the midst of a war. So if it's not okay in the Blues, is it okay in a war movie if it's a real depiction of events that we said were okay in a dramatic depiction by Steven Spielberg? I think we're really tying ourselves in knots here, and that's a great example of the difficulty that we're putting broadcasters under. And there's a lot of uncertainty out there. Some people are saying they don't want to air it during hours when children may be listening. I think, generally speaking, that in the context of that kind of a situation, if it was okay in Saving Private Ryan, I haven't heard the exact details, but it may be okay in the context of a documentary. But I can't say that that's the case for the majority of my colleagues who held that in another documentary, such types of language were offensive and inappropriate and held to be indecent and profane.
Well, let me just bring up another twist in this story. Say it's a documentary and veterans are talking about prior experiences during war and using expletives, not in battle, but in discussing battle. You know, how would that be? I guess your answer would be, who knows? No one knows right now.
Nobody knows. I mean, we need to look at the context of each one of these types of events. And of course, I think that we need to look at the context in terms of documentaries and news being in a separate category.
Well, let me ask an obvious question. If you, an FCC commissioner, don't know the answer to those questions, how is a broadcaster supposed to put together a show, whether it's a fiction show or a documentary about war? I mean, if we don't know what the standards are and we risk getting enormous fines, how are we supposed to produce a show on these things?
I think it was a lot easier before we started playing around with the standards as to words. I mean, I think we've got ourselves now in a bit of a conundrum where there is a confusion about, is it okay in a war documentary but not a war drama? Mm-hmm. Is it okay in a blues documentary but not a war documentary? Or is it okay in a 9/11 documentary because it's politically correct to talk about those words on 9/11, but it's not okay in the context of a blues documentary? I don't think the standard should change. That's why I dissented from the part of the decision that held the blues documentary to be indecent, because can we decide what documentaries merit the use of certain words and which ones don't? Is it just what three of the five of the commissioners on the FCC think? I think we need to have standards in place that are clear and that provide guidance to people about what is and isn't appropriate. And I think in the context of these documentaries, that is something that we need to make clear has a greater burden for us to find something to be impermissible.
You're saying that the FCC has been tying itself in knots over these decisions and that now we have a set of very unclear standards. So how did we get into this predicament? Why is this happening?
What really started us down this difficult road, I think, was a decision in the Bono case, the Golden Globes case, where we found a fleeting use of the F word to be indecent and profane. Ever since that time, there's been the whole vocabulary that we have to go down now to figure out what people can and can't say. Now, nobody wants their children exposed to these kind of words on the air. I mean, to make a major effort as families to keep our kids from using these kind of words. We don't want to be exposed to it on the air and taken by surprise. And certainly it's inappropriate for broadcasters to be using these types of words. Question is whether or not in a fleeting case like that, it actually rises to the level of indecency to the extent that we can fine a station for using it. We promised the Supreme Court in the Pacifica case, when the FCC counsel went in front of the court, that we would show great restraint and walk along a tightrope to make sure that we didn't overstep our bounds.
Let me just interrupt you and say this is the famous George Carlin seven dirty words that you can't say on television case.
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
We said at the time that we would show great restraint in exercising the power that we have, and that in particular these fleeting examples would be something that we would try to not come down so hard on. And now we've really changed that. And the problem is that was a decision in Pacifica that was a 4-5 decision. We were only upheld by one vote. So we're barely in a position to maintain our authority. If we make a mistake and we overstep our bounds, the problem could be that we could forever lose our authority to restrict the broadcast of what we consider to be indecent material over the airwaves.
Well, let me say that there are four networks that are appealing the decisions that the FCC made in March. So are you suggesting that if these networks win in that appeal, that the FCC will lose its authority or some of its authority?
It's really a roll of the dice when you go in front of a court with a difficult case like we've made for ourselves. If we're overturned by the court, we don't know what the implications could be. It's very possible that they could constrain our authority in ways that are broader than we currently envision. So it's a dangerous thing. We need to exercise our authority with great restraint, if for no other reason than to protect our ability to prevent children from hearing material that's indecent.
Jonathan Adelstein has been an FCC commissioner since 2002. He'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Support for NPR comes from Barnes & Noble, publishers of Barnes & Noble Classics edition of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, available in stores and online at bn.com. From the Horace W. Goldsmith Foundation, supporting the new Museum of Modern Art in Midtown Manhattan. Information at moma.org. And from audible.com, where you can download and listen to Fresh Air in addition to audiobooks, magazines, and newspapers. audible.com/freshair. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, we continue our interview with FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein. We'll talk with a lawyer who advises broadcast stations and hear from the president-elect of the Parents Television Council, which has filed many complaints with the FCC about indecency. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're talking about the FCC's increasingly strict enforcement of its indecency standards and why many broadcasters say the FCC's recent rulings are inconsistent and confusing and are having a chilling effect. Let's pick up where we left off with Jonathan Adelstein. He's been an FCC commissioner since 2002. Let me express another concern that I think many broadcasters share, and that is when you're operating in guidelines that are ambiguous, as most broadcasters feel is the case now, if you're in doubt about anything, you almost have to err on the side of not saying it or not including it in the program because the fines are so steep and the guidelines so vague and confusing. You know, the risks are so great if you're ruled against that you can't afford to take that risk. So what a lot of broadcasters are saying is they're forced to follow a kind of extreme form of self-censorship.
I am afraid that we're seeing something of a chilling effect on free speech as the outcome of some of our more dangerous decisions that we've made in this area. I understand why broadcasters want to be very careful and cautious, and we want them to be careful and cautious. When I first got to the commission, it was virtually anything goes. There was very little enforcement of our indecency rules, and I felt that as somebody sworn to uphold the law, I was in charge of making sure that we did step up and enforce those rules, and everybody, I think, applauded the initial steps that we took. But more recently, I think we're starting to get off track where we're really coming down hard on things that are fleeting or that are in the context of a documentary that is creating a lot of confusion and perhaps maybe having a chilling effect on what is otherwise constitutionally protected free speech.
Do you think the public and broadcasters can be confident that the FCC commissioners are basing their ruling on something larger than their personal tastes in what is acceptable and unacceptable?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not sure if they do. I mean, ultimately, what becomes indecent is what three of the five of us say is indecent. A good test case for that is we recently had a number of complaints about a comment by the President of the United States that was broadcast, I believe, over NPR. And a number of people complained that that was broadcast on the air. It was the S word. And let's see whether or not people who say that you can't use that word in the context of a blues documentary say it's okay if the president says it. I personally think that it was okay in the blues documentary because it was in the context of a piece like that. I think that this was newsworthy in terms of what was said by the president. So is there a double standard here or not? I mean, are we going to be consistent? It's a good question, and that would be a good test case to see whether or not there is that kind of consistency or whether it depends on the taste of the commissioners.
Give us an example, if you could, of a time when you think the FCC approach to regulating indecency worked best, a decision that you're really proud of, either that you were part of or that your predecessors were responsible for.
Well, there's a number of cases of material that just sort of really went over the line that we've been involved in. I mean, the Super Bowl is a good example. I think that parents were watching the Super Bowl and they weren't expecting sort of a display that they ended up getting in that halftime entertainment portion. When parents are sitting around with their kids, as I was, and they're trying to watch something like that, it's really takes them by surprise when they're exposed to that kind of a strange and, you know, inappropriate display. People have to know that there is a safe area. They're watching television and they don't have to basically jump in front of the TV and protect their kids from seeing things that they don't think should be broadcast in front of them. So, and a big family show like that broadcast in front of tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions around the world, we would hope that there would be a better taste displayed.
Now, you know, a lot of people have pointed out that it was the Janet Jackson thing that was objected to, but at the same time, the Super Bowl was filled with ads for male potency drugs. And, you know, a child is at least as likely to ask, Mom, what's that drug for? So what's the difference between, you know, this like split second revealing of Janet Jackson's breast and, you know, a lot of 30 and 60 second commercials that have to do with, you know, male sexual arousal and potency and so on?
There's also a commercial for a horror movie that had this really scary creature flying out of the screen right at my children. I practically had to jump out of my seat and get between the screen and my kids so that they wouldn't have nightmares that night and I'd be kept up that night. I mean, what are broadcasters thinking, putting that kind of violent material on the air during a family program when they know that a lot of kids are watching? So there's all kinds of inappropriate material on television that doesn't necessarily rise to the level of indecency. We have a very constrained ability to act on what is actually indecent.
The FCC wants to change its mind about a decision or several decisions that it made, and it told that to an appeals court in which an FCC decision is being appealed. Can you explain that?
The FCC general counsel actually asked a court to give back to us something that was being appealed by broadcasters. We had found several words to be indecent, but we didn't find the stations because they were uttered before we changed the policy to make those words impermissible. So the broadcasters found they could take this right to court. And all of a sudden, when we learned that we could be exposed to a quick legal decision on these things, and we were somewhat exposed to it, we asked the courts to send it back to us rather than ruling on it so we could reconsider the decision. But the irony of that is that all along, we've had the same exact issue pending before us in the Golden Globes case, where we've been asked for 2.5 years to reconsider that case, and we haven't done so. So we're in the embarrassing position of asking a court to send back to us something to reconsider, which we just did, when we're actually not even willing to reconsider something we've been asked to reconsider for 2.5 years. So you can see that we're tying ourselves in legal knots here, and I think we're trying to avoid court scrutiny because of the difficult position we've put ourselves in.
So are you saying that the FCC is afraid that if the appeals court rules against the FCC, that the FCC would lose authority, therefore the FCC said, wait a minute, we want to reconsider our decision?
Ostensibly, we've asked the courts to give this back so that we can give due process to broadcasters who weren't given an opportunity to respond before. But if, in fact, we wanted to really reconsider the decision, which is what the general counsel told the court we wanted to do, we could do that without having to send these things back to us because we've had something pending before us for 2.5 years that we haven't reconsidered on the Bono case. So it's certainly got to raise questions in people's minds about what our true motives are here and whether or not we're just sort of playing games to avoid legal peril.
There is screening technology now that can enable parents to screen out programs they don't want their children to see. Should the availability of that technology change the FCC's approach to regulating indecency?
Well, already the courts have held that because we're dealing with constitutionally protected speech, we have to use the least restrictive means possible to prevent children from being inappropriately exposed to this kind of material. That means, for example, that cable is outside of our reach and satellite is outside of our reach because this is something that parents are actually paying for and inviting into their home. And these technologies do enable parents to block a channel or a particular set of programming, depending, that they might think is inappropriate for their children. So less restrictive means than the government saying this can be prevented for everybody is for a parent to be able to take control within their own home and say that I'm going to protect my children by either not subscribing or putting some kind of a filter on. When it comes to broadcast, the courts have held it's different because it's so pervasive. There's a billion radios out there. TVs are everywhere, and you can't necessarily block it. These decisions, of course, were made before the days of the V-chip, but there still are televisions without V-chips out there. So I think for the time being, it does appear that we're going to have authority over broadcast as long as we don't overstep our bounds and find ourselves really circumscribed by the courts.
Well, Commissioner Edelstein, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Terry.
Jonathan Edelstein has been an FCC commissioner since 2002. We recorded our interview yesterday. Today, the U.S. Court of Appeals granted the FCC request that Commissioner Edelstein was just discussing to reconsider its decisions on 4 cases pertaining to profanity. Coming up, Stephen Weiswasser, a lawyer who advises broadcast stations. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about the impact of the FCC's increasingly strict enforcement of its indecency standards. Many broadcasters say the FCC's rulings have been unclear and inconsistent and are leading to self-censorship. My guest, Stephen Weiswasser, is a lawyer who advises broadcast stations. He's the former general counsel for the parent company of ABC TV. Its Standards and Practices Department reported to him. Stephen Weiswasser, welcome to Fresh Air. Can you give us a typical question you are asked now in light of the most recent FCC decisions? Typical question you're asked by the broadcast stations that you represent about whether they can or can't say or show something.
A lot of lawyers today are hearing from clients who are CBS affiliates, for example, with respect to the carriage of a documentary on 9/11, which has been on the air twice before, and which is slated to be on right around the anniversary of 9/11, in which firefighters and others who are, and these are the only, this is the only footage available of the actual crashing of an airplane into the one of the Trade Center towers, and there are reactions from people, some of which contain language which in other contexts the FCC has said might constitute indecent language. And they're saying, what do we do? Do we move this program to the so-called safe haven after 10 o'clock? Do we run it because this program is honest-to-goodness journalism and unique and a reminder of the intensity and importance of 9/11? Or do we not? Do we pass on it on the ground that life is short and we don't want, can't afford, shouldn't have to face major litigation at the FCC and courts and fines that are capable of running well into the hundreds of thousands, depending on how the number of expletives is counted and whether they're all found to be indecent and so on.
How have the recent FCC decisions changed the parameters, as far as you're concerned, about what's indecent and what's profane?
The recent decisions, the ones that go back to the spring, have pushed the definitions way beyond where they were before. They have reached into material which isn't, for example, explicit, but is merely suggestive, and have labeled such material indecent and fined broadcasters who have, or attempted to fine broadcasters who have run it. And because the cases themselves seem inconsistent and are inconsistent without explanation, they have made it much more difficult for broadcasters conscientiously trying to do the right thing even to know what it is that the FCC will or won't consider to be indecent. There's no predictability in what the commission is now doing that permits anybody to make a judgment with respect to what can be broadcast that will or won't pass muster.
Now, the four major broadcast networks are appealing the March 15th FCC rulings. On what grounds are they appealing?
A number of different grounds. They are appealing, in part, they're appealing the inconsistency, the lack of standards, the lack of notice and opportunity to comment on them, and they're raising constitutional issues with respect to the degree to which the commission is intruding in the process of creation of content and broadcast of content. And I think that all of those arguments are very serious and important ones.
What do you think that the odds are that the court will rule in their favor?
Well, I think that the cases before the court now and the cases where the commission issued decisions in the spring reflect candidly such a non-rational process of decision-making that the commission will lose necessarily all or most of them, not even because the commission doesn't have the authority to work in this area or to make decisions in this area, but because the decisions make no internal consistent sense and cannot be justified by under either the Constitution or the standard, the very standard it's trying to apply. Of course, I'm an optimist, and I'm an advocate that a lot of those cases are going to be struck down and sent back or dismissed. And I don't think, and I think this is an important point that people don't necessarily get, and that is, I'm not sure that this means that there's no room for a rational indecency policy. Broadcasters do have special responsibilities because the medium is pervasive, and there may be every once in a while a circumstance in which it is appropriate for the FCC to worry about content that is excessive and is presented for purposes of titillation or pandering to an audience. But it is way past that now and has moved into areas where it shouldn't, and it needs, in my opinion, to go back and rethink the standard that it uses to decide these cases.
If the broadcast networks appealing the FCC decisions win, what would the implications be for the FCC?
Assuming that we don't have a court decision which strikes down the entirety of the regulatory process here, I think what it would say to the commission is that it simply must go back and rethink the reason for regulation of indecent content and the standard it is using to do that with. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. I mean, the commission, the FCC, is basically saying that it is required to regulate material that is patently offensive, not a clear statement all by itself, when measured against contemporary community standards for the broadcast medium. Well, those are not self-defining words. They have to have a meaning. All we know for sure is that the commission has said that it doesn't take account of differences between audiences in different parts of the country, that it therefore is a national standard. But it clearly implies that it has to be offensive to a significant chunk of the audience. It has to be material that is not within standards that most people accept for broadcasting. But it hasn't done any quantitative analysis or research that would say what it is that the American people find acceptable or not acceptable. And so what we are left with is the uncomfortable circumstance that five commissioners, basically relying on their relationships with the people they know and maybe with each other, are simply saying this is okay and that is not, and in this context the S word is okay, but in that context it's not, and making distinctions that candidly just don't make any sense.
The FCC commissioners are presidential appointees who are confirmed by Congress. Is the FCC, in your opinion, politicized? And does the FCC, in your opinion, represent fairly the cultural divisions within America now?
Well, I rather think of it differently. The process of deciding what's indecent or not has become politicized. I'm not saying that the commission is politicized. I think, in fact, that the commission may be trying conscientiously to do the job that it thinks it's required to do under the Communications Act. I just don't think it has done it right. But what we have is a highly political process in which a relatively small number of people represented by a couple of activist groups are generating thousands and thousands of complaints about particular programs that use words that those groups don't like, or that have scenes in them that those groups don't like. And they have politicized the process by doing that. Now, of course, everybody has a right to petition the government for redress of grievances it has against that they have against the government or others. But that does not mean that the interests of the rest of the country, who are not complaining and who are watching the programming that is being complained about, shouldn't be taken into account in the decision process.
Stephen Weiswasser, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Stephen Weiswasser is a partner in the law firm of Covington & Burling in Washington, D.C. Coming up, the president-elect of the Parents Television Council, which has filed complaints with the FCC about indecency in broadcasts. This is Fresh Air. We've been talking about recent FCC decisions on indecency and profanity and why many broadcasters say those decisions are having a chilling effect. My final guest, Tim Winter, is the president-elect of the Parents Television Council, whose mission is to prevent children from being exposed to sex, violence, and profanity on TV and other media. The group encourages parents to complain to the FCC, and it has filed complaints that have led to FCC fines against stations. Tim Winter, welcome back to Fresh Air. Are you concerned about the complaints of broadcasters that the FCC's rulings have been inconsistent, that the FCC is twisting itself into legal knots, and that it has become impossible for broadcasters to figure out if content is going to be fined or not by the FCC? And this is leading to confusion and self-censorship. And in fact, one of our guests today has called this an indirect form of government censorship. Does this concern you?
There are some valid concerns to that, but I will say most of the concerns I think are manufactured. They're intended to be, wrapping themselves in the American flag in a way to allow them not to abide by the law, which I think is hooey. But first, let's talk about the validity of some of the concerns. Granted, the FCC has been arbitrary over the past couple of decades on enforcing the rules. There is now stepped up measures. There have been stepped up measures recently, and we applaud those stepped up measures. There is some gray area, as there is with pretty much any law that you have on the books. There are always circumstances where you kind of, wince and you go, "Well, does this really apply? Is this something that's really against the law?" And I think that there is some legitimate beef there by some of the broadcasters. But what's pathetic to me is when you have bold and brazen scripted F-bombs, when you have scenes like Without a Trace, where you have high schoolers in an orgy scene. I mean, there are things that are patently offensive by anybody's contemporary community standards, and broadcasters should know better in many instances. I think it's tragic that CBS is filing suit against the Janet Jackson incident, claiming that it's not indecent to have a strip tease during the middle of a Super Bowl, halftime show. I think it shows how out of touch many are in the industry, and I also think it shows that they intend absolutely not to be bound by any law whatsoever. Again, I think it shows the sham, it exposes the sham that many in the industry are trying to create, which is, well, we don't know what indecent is. Well, you know what? If you use an F word in the middle of a broadcast with millions of children, how can you have any question whatsoever? Sure, there are times where, for instance, this 9/11 broadcast that's coming up here next week, Saving Private Ryan, there are issues, there are instances where it's very tough to decide, where there is a very fine line and there's a lot of gray, and we understand and appreciate that. But again, there are times where it's absolutely abundantly clear, and unfortunately, it's those instances I think that the networks are taking to the courts.
Meanwhile, broadcasters are facing the problem, how do you know when a word is okay or not okay? For example, if it's okay in Saving Private Ryan, is that kind of expletive okay in a documentary about World War II or a documentary about Iraq? And if it's okay in a documentary about Iraq where that's depicting a scene of war, where the soldiers are using an expletive, is the expletive okay in an interview where a soldier is remembering a scene in war and using an expletive to describe the scene in retrospect? And is it okay in a documentary about blues musicians where the blues musicians are using that language? The FCC said, no, it's not okay in that documentary. So how is a broadcaster to know?
Well, Terry, you've hit the nail on the head squarely. These are very difficult questions. But just because they're difficult doesn't mean we don't try to get good answers. And I think that there are no good answers right now on some of those questions because the enforcement has been so lax for so long. It's really only just the last 18, 24 months where we've seen any action whatsoever on this type of material. But let me do say this, though. I'm a history buff. I loved Private Ryan, the heroism, the motion of the power of the picture. But I believe in my heart that the heroism that was depicted, the story that was told, could have been told in the theaters, movie theaters, with those F words and other profanity in there, And if they wanted to broadcast it on the public airwaves before 10 p.m., they could have just quickly silenced those words and had no concern whatsoever about running afoul of the law and not had any lost any impact whatsoever in the film. Same thing with this blues program. You can't tell me that by muting one word, you would have lost any real substance. And if the, you know what, if you had to depict those words, if you had to use those words, you could have aired it after 10 o'clock. That solves everything. Air it after 10 o'clock.
You know, just with Saving Private Ryan, you said the heroism could have been depicted without the language, but the film isn't just about heroism. The film is trying to depict that war is hell, and the language is part of that hell. It's part of the language that's used in that hell or to describe that hell.
Sure, but it's I mean, we can, how far, you know, soldiers have need to have bowel movements during the course of the battle as well, but we don't show them squatting. I'm not suggesting for a second that those words be taken out in the theater, on cable, pay-per-view, on the DVD, any other medium except for broadcast television before 10 p.m. It seems like that's such a simple balance of using public property, the public airwaves, in accordance with the law of the land, and that just seems so pragmatic to me. But obviously, others disagree, and my concern is others disagree simply because they want no rules whatsoever. They don't have any interest in finding a balance for those who, you know, the public owns the airwaves. The public includes people who want that language, and it includes people who don't want that language. And that's why we have these time restrictions. Before 10, don't use it. After 10, go ahead and use it.
Tim Winter, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
And congratulations on your new position.
Oh, thank you so much.
Tim Winter is the president-elect of the Parents Television Council. All of the interviews from today's program about the FCC and the impact of its recent decisions will be on our website at freshair.npr.org. I'm Terry Gross.
Support for NPR comes from Capella University, an accredited university committed to delivering academic excellence online at capella.edu. From the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, working to make cancer a national priority at Celebration on the Hill. Details at acscan.org. And from the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting efforts to find and fight the causes of homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Darling, you send me.
On the next Fresh Air, the life and music of Sam Cooke. We'll hear from Peter Guralnick. His biography of Cooke is now out in paperback. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Honest you do, honest you do, honest you do. Whoa.